Well, craft beer culture and industry have recently grown exponentially with over 4,000 craft brewers operating in the United States alone. Is it enough? I don't think so. The new book, Brew Your Business, The Ultimate Craft Beer Playbook, incorporates cultural, legal, business, public relations, management, science, networking, and brewing experience into one accessible book for everyone wanting to know more about craft brewing, tasting, and selling. How many people does it take to make a book? Well, you count. Karen McGrath is here. She has been researching, writing, and teaching for over 30 years and has co-authored a book with Regina Littrell, who is also the co-author of this book, who unfortunately could not be with us today, but we love having Karen. They did a beautiful book called The Millennial Mindset, Unraveling Fact from Fiction. Sean McGrath is here, a committed home brewer with over 20 years of experience and many more years of enthusiasm regarding craft brews. Regina is not here, but Todd Littrell is. He's a craft beer enthusiast with an accomplished scientist and business professional with over 20 years of discovery and leadership experience. We are also joined by the guy with the beer, Mike Wenzel. Is it Wenzel?
Wenzel.
Wenzel, yep. Thank you very much. You told me before, and I promptly forgot. Co-owner and head brewer at Helderberg Mountain Brewing Company, and it's a great pleasure to welcome you all to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very
Thank
much
you.
For being with
Thank
us.
Thank you for having, Thanks us. For having us.
What a delight. This is a lot of fun. Now, Karen, how
yes.
did you take on this project? How did all this come to be?
Well, I started to become interested in beer because Sean used to make me be the designated driver when we would go to all the different breweries.
Okay.
And so I began to just taste them a little bit because I never really thought I liked beer until I started to taste them and get to distinguish the different kinds of beers and the flavors and how beers are made and the history and culture. So that just took off from there. My interests in the cultural aspects really sparked my interest in having a book like this.
Now, at what point do you say, oh, okay, there's a book here?
Usually when I talk to Gina, Gina's usually the one that goes, oh, you should make that a book. So we did. We talked about it. I also had thought about thinking of this book as an introductory textbook to a craft beer studies program, either a minor or a major at St. Rose or elsewhere. So the chapters that are here, I think, would be very suitable for that. So we had conversations about what would a certificate or a minor or a major look like in craft beer studies in the Capital Region. So that's how this came to be.
What a great idea.
Isn't it, right?
We need that.
We do.
Oh, my goodness. Goodness. All right. Now, so then, Sean, so you were the one, of course, who
yes.
had the initial interest here. And so what brought you into this idea?
Well, when it got a little complicated uncovering all aspects of beer, Karen decided to use me for all the home brewing and all my experience and years of beer drinking. So I jumped aboard and, you know, suffered through it. I'm not a writer. I learned a lot, procrastinated a lot, but she kept me on track and got my stuff done and we got the book out. But
now, Todd, you are also a craft beer enthusiast and a scientist. And so at what point, did you feel your participation was and what you added to the overall project?
You know, it's funny, and Karen was far too humble in how this book came about. It's a
Stop
funny
being
story
humble.
In the sense that, she had come out to visit us when we were in Michigan, and her and Gina were up one night talking through finalizing a different project, and they started talking, as Karen mentioned, about how does something like this, how could it become more mainstream in academics? And so over a couple of beers, we talked through some ideas, and I went to bed, and when I woke up, this 14-page proposal for a book was already done. So my component of it was pretty easy. They, you know, needed somebody to be able to just relate the very simple science into the book and be able to allow the readers to at least have a basic understanding of what transformations are going on and go from there.
So Mike, as I mentioned, is from Helderberg Mountain Brewing Company. Karen, before we go to Mike, just talk a little bit about, so this was kind of your your contact into this world, I guess, and allow you to sort of see all of this up close and personal.
Yes. Luckily, Sean and Mike met at work, so that was helpful.
Yes.
And then Sean would come home talking about all the things that Mike was doing with brewing his own beer and then starting his own business and now moving into a tap room. And so a lot of times it was just off-the-cuff conversations we'd have about beer and brewing and difficulties and challenges, and that's how Mike got involved in the project.
Now, Mike, how did you get started in all of this? You started as a home brewer?
I probably have about 25 years of home brewing experience, and an opportunity presented itself. It's something you always talk about when you're home brewing and everything. Oh, what if we gave it a shot and had a professional brewery and whatnot? And up in East Bern, an opportunity presented itself, and we figured we'd give it a shot and see what happens. And so far, so good.
So what has happened? Talk a little bit about how this has grown, because I've seen this in my town. I've seen this in countless towns of how these little breweries come in and they basically take over the community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating to me of how that happens.
Well, people love knowing where their beer is coming from. So local ingredients, I use... In all of my beers, I use almost 100% New York-grown grains.
Are you a New York State Farm Brewer?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so you're from that,
yes.
a product of that legislation.
The requirement is using 20% New York grain and 20% New York hops, but I like to use as much local product as I can in our beers. So most of our products are almost 100%, and they're local. I only brew 40 gallons at a shot. I'm not a big brewer. I have a full-time job. I brew on the weekends and keg weeknights and whatnot, so it keeps me very busy. But small craft beer has really taken off because it's a kind of a local community. People like coming from a local area and knowing that the beer is brewed right there with local ingredients, and people really enjoy that nowadays.
I find it fascinating of how curious people are, in the sense of curious of trying different beers. So there are types that they like, there's types that they don't like, but if you have something new, they want to try it.
Yes, that's the nice. So we have samplers. I can give people samples. And sampling the beer leads to a conversation of how it's made, how did you get these flavors, what hops are you using, and it's amazing how a simple question will turn into a 20-minute conversation regarding beer and local agriculture and everything.
All right, so since you brought up sampling, why don't we start that process?
Yes, I'll get that going.
And while you get that going, let me ask Karen, is there a saturation point in this, do you think?
You know, I don't think there is. I know that there's some fear about that, especially as some of the bigger distribution companies like InBev, you know, start to take over and start to buy out.
Right.
But I really don't think so. I think that even if you had a large number within a particular area, people are still loyal to a variety of brands. And they want what they want is good quality beer. So the worst part is if I think the only way it could become saturated is if... I'm going to say no. You still can't be saturated. I think some people can do it poorly, and that might cause them to leave the competitive edge. But it's more of a community. The brewers talk constantly amongst themselves, and they do collaboration brews. So I just don't think there's a saturation point. I think they all know that they want to make their best beer, and they want to have their own success, but they also want others to succeed, especially at the craft local level.
So two points I just like to touch on. One, and Todd, I'll go to you for this. It does ultimately, though, success has to do, you have to start with a great product, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it starts with the beer, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I think there's so many good brews out there, and there's so many small local companies and breweries that you can go and taste test. And I also think to build on what Karen was saying, is that it's the culture is almost influenced by kind of a generational component as well. When you look at this millennial generation that's coming up, or even our generation and
cross promotion for the passbook. Go ahead.
it was certainly unintended.
But
when you look at even the Generation X folks, I mean, everybody's really reaching out into as Karen mentioned, the quality beer. And I think as we continue to go forward, as long as there's great product out there,
absolutely,
and the taste of the consumer is more drawn to kind of that craft style beer. There's no way that we can put a cap on this right now.
Now, also, I think another fascinating thing that I've just observed while being somewhat a part of this, of watching this grow around our region, and Sean, I working with Mike, I assume you say there really isn't a competition between these breweries. It's very much, it's very collaborative. Everyone's working together. Everyone's fascinated with each other's product.
It's a community.
Yeah,
we're all there to help everyone out. There is competition. Everyone wants to have their best beer,
sure,
and they want to promote it. But no one's going to let anyone fail if they're part of the community. There's a lot of collaborations. Mike has been in quite a few collaborations, some with up to, what, 7 or 9, the Too Many Cooks series.
Yeah, 14 breweries.
14 breweries in that one. And it helps other people. They might have their local brewery, and also now they get to know, hey, I never knew this place existed.
Right.
You brewed this with who? Oh, this is fantastic. Let's get up there and visit them and see what's going on.
The other thing also, Joe, is everybody works together to try to produce the best beer possible. That way, if somebody has a craft beer at one establishment, somebody has a craft beer at another establishment, and it's good at both places, people say, wow, craft beer is fantastic. The thing that people were worried about is you'd get a couple little pop-up breweries, and their beer was so-so, and then people would say, if they're trying craft beer for the first time, oh, I don't like craft beer because of this or that.
Right.
So in being collaborative and helping everybody out, it raises everybody's standard and quality of beer.
Now, you poured us a glass here. What are we trying?
This is an old ale. It's a very malty English-style beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice for the winter time. Mm. So,
cheers.
Cheers.
Sorry, Todd.
Yeah, Todd.
Yeah.
Todd, grab pretend. A beer out of the refrigerator.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretending.
Well, that's very nice. But, you know, you say malty, but it also has a lightness to it, doesn't it?
It does.
Yep.
Yeah. That's very nice. Typically, where does that fit in the... So I assume you're like everyone else, and IPAs are the things that sell.
Yes. The big a lot sellers. Of people are always looking for what's the latest IPA you have, because that is a craze that started and is always continuing. Others have... Kind of beers have been popular, then they fell to the wayside, but IPAs are just, they continue to push the boundaries on what type of IPAs you can brew and flavors and all the new hops that are out there. It's
yeah, so
really
many new
strong.
Hops, so many new varieties with different flavors. It's endless what they can do with them.
I find the overall success of IPAs interesting, because it seems to be the most challenging beer or complex beer to drink, in the sense that it's so hoppy and there's so many flavors that it doesn't seem like, it's not an entry level beverage to me, I don't think, but and yet people love it, and it seems when people are introduced to breweries, that's what they like to try initially.
Yep, I've had people tell me they've tried IPAs and they really didn't care for them, and then they had a certain one.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
it
kind of...
I haven't found one yet.
No.
I'm sorry. I mean, you know, I like them. They're fine. So I feel this way about lobster. Mm-hmm. It's like, I like lobster. It's fine. I don't see any reason for killing the lobster, though, for me to enjoy it, because I just don't enjoy it that much. But right. And there's so many other wonderful other beers. Karen, let me ask you about this. There's a line here that I use. Which you point out in the book, of course, the cultural, legal, business, public relations, management, science, networking, and brewing experience. It really does encompass everything, doesn't it?
It really does. I think that the industry itself, of course, the science of the brewing is the most important. But if you are trying to, you know, have a brand and trying to put yourself out there, you need to know so many different aspects of the industry in order to take it and run with it.
So if you're a brewer, you may be really good at brewing beer, but maybe they're not the best at promoting. Maybe they're
correct.
Not the best at networking. Maybe they're not. And that's so you talk in the book about how to sort of make up for that.
Right. Hire other people who have an interest and a passion and a liking for your beer, and reach out to other brewers. As Mike said, the collaboration, and Sean had mentioned that as well. The collaboration, the community building, those are the people that are going to know what's happening now. So knowing about law, I may not be the expert, but I can reach out to somebody who knows more, even about hops or whatever it might be.
I also find that in this community, people do tend to want to want to help. I'm not saying they're some. Well, I think in a lot of cases they do offer their volunteer their services.
Absolutely.
But it is it's a community of people coming together because they want to see you succeed in this.
And something Karen just brought up is the word passion.
Yeah.
When you talk to other brewers and people in the industry, and a lot of these interviews we did while making the book, the passion these people have for their business, for the craft, for the community, is what stands out above anything else in the whole craft beer industry. Is if you want to succeed, you have to pair yourself up with people that are just as impassioned about the business as you are. To bring in a partner that's a businessman and doesn't care about the product, he's a liability, not a help.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, and it's what the ones that I've seen that have really succeeded have been the ones that are, they probably have started with home brewers, but they also have wide backgrounds of someone's a scientist, someone's a businessman, somebody has, you know, a guidance counselor, whatever the case may be. You know, they have some experience that they bring to the table.
Yes.
Yeah, being a small brewery, I'm pretty much involved in every single aspect of the business from my standpoint. If I do need help, there's plenty of people I can reach out to who have experience in different fields and give me a little guidance on how I would go about completing something regarding laws or advertising or whatnot. So everybody's very collaborative.
We talk about community. You just poured for us a beer called Four Paws Porter, and this shows this is a beer that you do that helps a local animal rescue organization. Talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about it specifically and then sort of broadly about why that working with the community is so important.
Well, the beer is a Southern English style porter, so it has chocolatey and roasty notes in it. I wanted to brew a beer specifically for the taproom.
It's my favorite.
Oh, wow.
This one's my favorite.
So I'm
woof.
So at the taproom, we pour this on nitro, similar to a Guinness.
Okay.
So what we do is each month in the taproom, we pick a different animal rescue organization. $1 from every beer that we sell in the taproom gets donated, plus we've also received a lot of donations aside from the purchase of pints. It goes to a different organization every month. Last month we gave our donation Out of the Pits. This month we're donations are going to the Mr. Mo Project for senior shelter dogs. So each month we're going to pick a different rescue organization, not necessarily always dogs, cats. My wife and I adopted a off-the-track thoroughbred, so we're going to do an equine rescue organization. So it's going to run the gamut of any animal rescue organizations.
What do you do with a horse? You have it?
My wife does inventing with it.
Oh, nice. Oh, yes. Very cool.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I thought that was a personal question.
No, know? Yeah. I don't know. So but it is important, Karen, I think, for all of these, especially for the small breweries, and when they move into or they start, they erupt, if you will, in a community to be a part of that community.
Absolutely. Anything local has to be, you have to be part of the community. You have to care about where you live and the people in it and about sharing that background and that history with them and being part of that community.
Todd, what are the challenges when you were putting this book together with everybody, as you look for things of pitfalls that people can get into, what are some of the challenges you see?
I think first and foremost, people tend to like jump in with the idea, and I think the scale is the big problem. Rather than kind of wading in, putting your toe in, trying it out a little bit, and then refining kind of your craft from there before you decide. Not only is it a financial investment, but there's also space considerations that go into it, and then once you start hitting particular volumes, there's legal ramifications and regulatory concerns that you need to start thinking about. And so I'd say, in a word, it's probably just starting very slowly.
Do you find, are the rules onerous, or have they become easier, Mike, as far as both state and federal laws?
New York State is putting forward a fantastic support effort as far as helping breweries understand the legal ramifications of what they need to do paperwork-wise, legally, what they can do, what they can't do. So the support is very good from New York State. Federal, I received a lot of help when I was filling out my initial paperwork. So everybody's been very helpful to me. So.
Okay, because you've piqued my curiosity to the utmost, Karen, and so we'll end with you on this question. So how do you ultimately do you see this as a course?
How do I see it as a course? I think of it as a...
Or a course of study, actually.
Yeah, I think minimally it can be an introduction to craft beer studies, which focuses on all of those different areas. It's very interdisciplinary in the sense of you can have a minor that would have, let's say, 18 credits. And the skills that the students would learn, whether it be in business or public relations or science in terms of brewing, any of the chapters, law, any of those skills then would be transferable, and the knowledge as well, to other jobs that you would have. So even if you didn't want to work in the industry, it's a strong liberal arts underpinning for future careers.
Everything's there. Everything is, it's a nice cross-section of just about everything.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it just happens to use a different context.
Are you at the point, Mike, do you think, as you said, you have a job, you have a day job. I know a bunch of guys who started one of these things, they all had day jobs too, and they're at the point now of, do I go right or do I go left?
Well, my day job pays the mortgage for the house, so that has a large bearing on what I'm doing. But right now, we have our tap room, we have two beers and a local restaurant, that's it. So as far as expansion, right now I'm doing all I can do, and we're happy with where we are, so... We'll
That's
see what
good.
Happens down the road, but right now we're good.
Well, it's some wonderful beer.
Thank you.
It's Helderberg Mountain Brewing Company. You're in Bern. And
East Bern, New York.
East Bern,
yep.
New York, and people can find you on or Facebook.
We have Facebook. I always update as far as events and what's going on, and website and Twitter, Instagram.
It's on tap and all that good stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Mike, thank you very much. Todd, thank you very much for being here. Sorry you couldn't drink with us, but we cheers with you in spirit, okay?
No, thanks for having me. Thank you.
Great pleasure. Karen and Sean McGrath, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Delight always
thanks,
to
Joe.
See you both. Thank
Fantastic.
You very much
thank
for being
you.
With us. Again, the name of the book is Brew Your Business, The Ultimate Craft Brew Playbook, Craft Beer Playbook, excuse me. The Ultimate Craft Beer Playbook. It is published by Roman and Littlefield, and just a lot of fun and very, very informative. Brew Your Business. Thank you all.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.